Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome. It's now time for the featured bout of the evening. From the four corners of the world to the four corners of this ring, the fight starts now!
Hello and welcome to Matchroom Boxing's Fight Week podcast. We're on the ground in Leeds. Here's what's coming up on this week's episode. Josh Warrington looks to become a two-time world champion and hopes history repeats itself.
A lot of people have wrote me off and I'll finish when I got beat by Lara, and here I am again. And by Saturday night, I'll be world champion again.
But having silenced a passionate Sheffield crowd to take the IBF title from Kid Galahad, Kiko Martinez is vowing to do it again.
If this can't get you motivated in life, nothing will. And I'm telling you, by the third round, I will have shut up the Leeds fans, and they'll just be expecting their fighter to survive.
Maxi Hughes makes the first defence of his IBO lightweight title against Ryan Walsh.
I get the chance to retire a second Walsh brother, and that's what I intend on doing. No doubts that I'm going to come out victorious.
Ebony Bridges has the opportunity to change her life.
I was never here to really want to prove anything to anyone. I don't really care what people think of me. You know, I train hard and it's all about what I do and how I feel about myself. And I put the work in the gym, put the work outside of the gym. I put the work in every single part of my life.
And Sheffield's most successful amateur, Dalton Smith, takes the next step in his professional career.
The better the opposition gets, the better you're going to see at Dalton Smith. And, you know, this fight is... it's one of those fights where I know I can't leave no stone unturned.
All this and much, much more on the ground from Leeds. First up, the Leeds Warrior is back in action for the first time since September at Headingley Stadium, where his rematch with Maurizio Lara came to a frustrating end. Lara suffered a major cut in the second round and the fight was halted, the result a technical draw. Since then, his old rival Kiko Martinez has picked up the IBF featherweight world title, ironically the belt Warrington had given up. He sensationally knocked out Kid Galahad in Sheffield in November. With Martinez always believing he won the first fight when he took on Warrington back in May 2017, and with Josh looking to return to a place among the top names, a rematch between these two was the perfect solution all round. Jamie Ward spoke to Warrington, who told us he can't wait.
If you didn't have that little bit of anxiety, a little bit of butterflies in the stomach, then there's something wrong with you. I think it certainly helps. It's to a little bit of fear factor. As human beings, we fear the unknown. And I know that if I start thinking that it's a given or it's going to be handed to you, then complacency sets in, and that's what I had before Maurizio Lara. The first fight, and obviously we all see what happened there. Whereas I'm used to this feeling on fight week of a little bit of nerves, a bit of anxiety, but I know it's a good thing.
We saw a great picture during the week of yourself and your dad both looking in tremendous nick. But all jokes aside, you look yourself in top-notch condition. How satisfied, as a whole, have you been with your preparation for this fight?
Very satisfied. When you compare this camp towards the last camp, I trained hard in the last camp before the Lara 2, but I don't think it was my best camp. Whereas this time round, there's been a few chops and changes. If you compare, it's like when I boxed Kiko 5 years ago, it's certainly a lot different from then. You know, I'm 5 years older, but we trained a little bit more smarter. You know, I think in that first camp, against Kiko, I did 200 rounds of sparring. And this time around, it's been more or less half that. But I'm fit, I'm strong. Records have been beaten in a lot of my training schedules. And I'm very happy, you know. And all that is left to do now is do the business on Saturday night.
Just before we come on to talk about Saturday night, I caught up with you in the week leading up to Lee Wood against Michael Conlon. Just talk to us about that fight. Is it a fight you watched, and what did you make of what unfolded?
Yeah, end of the fight, I was up off my sofa clapping the boys, because the credit to the sport. I thought Mick boxed out of his skin, put a really good performance on. but he's spent a lot. And obviously, kudos to Lee, showing the art of a champion to keep on going even though he was down. And he'd been down literally, he keeps on going and got the result that he wanted in the end. And once or twice a year, we have them fights where you think, wow, this is why people love boxing. You know, them Rocky kind of moments. And that was one right there.
And it's interesting what you said at the start there about when you came into that first Lara fight, it was all the mega fights that you were targeting, and perhaps that did factor into what we saw that night. Now, Kiko sat here, he's talking about potential unifications with the likes of Lee Wood, but for yourself, that's maybe the biggest thing you have learned, like you say, that all this talk about the city ground and maybe the winner of this fight going on to fight Lee Wood, not even in your mind, is it, right now?
No. I mean, it's been spoke about, and you know it down, but whereas last time I was too caught up, you know, when I boxed Larry the first time round, I was too caught up on what's to come, what's going to be after. I think a little bit to do with that was the fact of Kanji had pulled out 5 weeks before we were scheduled to fight, so I think that was the biggest factor. But yeah, the main focus is on Saturday night, and you know, like we've seen it before with Kiko and Galahad, we were talking about Navarrete, unifications, and obviously look what happened. So you can't be dropping your attention by even a percentage, because it can be the difference on the night.
Sports fans, particularly box fans, can be a bit of a fickle bunch. Sometimes for yourself, look, 30 straight wins, 2 draws, the comments start coming in, has Warrington still got it, you know, has Warrington still got what it takes? How much, if at all, have those comments fueled you and factored into the way you described the heading into this fight? You really do have that bit between your teeth once again.
I've always always feel like when the back's against the wall, that brings the best out of me. You know, all throughout my career, from I think there was a stage of when I beat Rendon Monroe back in 2014, when people give me a bit of applause, but then as soon as I started fighting at the Leeds Arena, it was all like, oh, he's just a fucking ticket seller. Oh, he's only there because he sells someone a ticket, so he'll get exposed when he gets to European level. Then he'll get exposed when he gets to international level. Then he'll get exposed when he gets to world level. He ain't got the power, he can't box. And, you know, proved him wrong. Then I went at my first defence, Carl Frampton, and then beat Galahad. And like I say, he's still going to get knockers and people say he can't do it. But like I say, it always brings the best out of me when my back's against the wall. And I take inspiration from people around me. Look at my gym mate, Max Hughes. You know, one of the most inspiring people in boxing recently. What he's achieved and what he's come back from. So, people can say what they want, but I've learned to, you know, grow thick skin. At the same time, use their comments as fire.
We got to see you at home with your family, with your daughters in I'll Make the Days Count documentary, which recently dropped, of course, as well as having a great singing voice, great on the guitar as well. You talked about a few things a bit closer to home, about the bits people didn't see after the first Lara fight when you were sat at home and the girls were asking, what's wrong with Daddy? You said that was the toughest part of that defeat. Is there no going back there? Is that a place that you never want to go back to, Josh?
Yeah, most definitely. I think if you're stopping punches for 9 rounds on your chin instead of having a good defence, then you know, you're going to end up like that. You look at every fight I've been in prior to that one, and you know, I've always come out of it pretty unscathed, pretty unmarked. You know, certainly not the damage like Larry did. Yeah, he's a puncher, but I've been in with punches before. I've shared the ring with Kiko Martinez before. There's a lot of fighters who I've been in there with who've had as many knockouts as I've had fights at some stages of my career. So if you switch off, you start getting punches on, stopping punches with your chin, then things like that are going to happen, and I'm going to make sure that that's going to be the case after Saturday night.
A lot of time has passed since you first met Kiko in the ring. Of course, circumstances have changed, but how different a fight are you expecting on Saturday night, perhaps, to the one we saw in 2017?
I think we're both different men. You know, Kiko's obviously a lot older. I think the difference is my stock's risen. When he boxed me, I'd had a 12-month fight at the ring. First time round, come off an elbow operation, an injury. And I was still finding my feet. I was still chasing that world title. So I was carrying a lot of pressure every time I was going into the fight. So it was just a case of winning. Now I understand I've got to win on the weekend, but it's winning in a different mentality. And since I boxed Kiko, went on to beat Dennis Allan, Lee Selby, Carl Frampton, Kid Gallard, Sofran's coach. So, you know, my stock has certainly risen, and I've got more experience under my belt. And so has he, but like I say, he's 5 years older. And I feel like I'm 5 years older than him in my prime, whereas maybe he might have hit his prime when he boxed me the first time, and I did enough to beat him then.
Win or retire is what Kiko Martinez has told me is on the line for him on Saturday night. That's a pressure he's put on his own shoulders. Is that not the case for Josh Warrington this weekend?
It just means that you're going to have to add another few years to your career, doesn't it? I've been saying to Mrs. Oh, it's 37 now, I'm going to retire, you know. And when I didn't have that number in my head. Listen, I don't think about anything else but winning. You know, I'm not even putting myself under that pressure. That's what he needs to do for himself to keep himself motivated, then so be it. But I'm going to put myself under that pressure. You know, all I see myself is winning on weekend, and that's the kind of mindset I'm in right now.
He's talking about Leeds falling silent after three rounds and all the fans in the arena having just to will you on to survive to get through the 12 rounds. Do you invite that energy in some ways? Does that get the juices flowing? Do you invite him to bring that mentality to the ring on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think they only went quiet last time because they were all sobering up. They closed the bar about 3 hours before the fight, and if you've not had a pint for 3 hours, you're going to start sobering up. So most of them will start getting hangover in the stands. But listen, they'll be shouting all the way through the fight this weekend. And even though they are there, it's down to me, isn't it? It's down to me in the ring, and I'll be pumped enough. And like I can say, I know what it brings. I know what's coming. And he's made all this focus on silencing the crowd and shutting them up, but I think he's putting too much energy into it. He should be just focusing on me. You know, like you've said to me there, a lot of people have wrote me off, and I was finished when I got beat by Lara, and here I am again. And by Saturday night, I'll be world champion again.
So nice you had to do it twice.
Exactly.
In a professional career spanning almost 18 years, Kiko Martinez is one of the most respected fighters in the game. At the age of 36, there are many who believed he was past his best, but having stunned Kid Galahad to become a two-weight world champion, he's clearly not done yet. He sees this rematch as the perfect opportunity to set the record straight.
Muy bien, gracias a Dios, estamos bien contentos.
Yeah, so it's great to be back here. Thank God I'm feeling good, I'm feeling really happy. It's great to be back here in Leeds and to once again to be fighting against Josh Warrington, and we're going to continue to be world champion.
We caught up with you in Spain recently, spent some time with your pet sheep, your ducks as well, your family. You enjoy the quiet life, living a life of simple means, but locked in fight week, ready to fight. Does this give you a different type of happiness?
Sí, esto es mi futuro, este es el futuro.
Yeah, so it's my future. It's not only my future, but the future of my family. I live for this. I've been fighting for this, you know, all my life. This is my reality, and this is what I'm fighting for.
Diaria y mi obsesión.
I remember, Kiko, when you boxed Zelfa Barrett, you told me the dream was to be a world champion once again, and many thought that was an ambitious dream at that stage. How does it make you feel to be sat here as the defending IBF featherweight champion of the world?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it feels great to be here, and I think it was that idea. I was completely sure that I could do it, and I think it shows people that, you know, if you continue to fight, if you have an obsession, you can achieve things like this.
And now you are here after going through some difficult times mentally, emotionally during the pandemic that you've spoke about, searching for that opportunity, but now you are in this position. How determined are you to stay here?
Claro, creo que
yeah, so for me, it would be a negative thing. It wouldn't be positive if I wasn't able to take that belt home with me on Saturday night. I think all your work has to have, you know, an end point, and that for me is to still be champion on Saturday night.
And I know, just on that note, you have made a promise to your family of what you will do if you don't win this fight. Tell us about that and how much that's factoring into your motivation.
Yes, so I promised my wife and my daughters that I would retire if I lost, you know, because they pay a high price. They don't do this, I do, but it's me that goes into the ring. But I've said that, you know, if I lost, at the very most, I would have one more fight before I retired, because, you know, that's what I owe for my family.
When we announced this fight, there was some feedback on social media from boxing fans questioning perhaps why Josh Warrington was getting this opportunity after the two fights with Lara last year. Are you happy that he's got this chance?
Yeah, of course he deserves this opportunity. You know, he's been a great champion. He's beaten Selby, he's beaten Frampton, he's beaten Kid Galahad. You know, he's had a brilliant career. So why would he not deserve this opportunity? And that's a reality, obviously. In his last fight, there was a head clash, but you know, with Mauricio Lara. But you know, of course he deserves this opportunity.
You told me previously that you believe Josh can't punch, he won't hurt you with his shots, and he didn't in the first fight, and he won't in this fight. For that reason, how can we expect Kiko Martinez to start the fight from that opening bell?
So I have to go into this fight thinking I've got no margin for error. Last time I fought him in his backyard, you know, I was robbed, and then the promoter also at that time robbed me of my opportunity to go on and fight again. So I need to, and last time it was a bad experience because I thought he fought quite negatively and he was on his bike for the whole fight. But I'd be looking to stop it within the distance, but that doesn't mean I have to stop it finish it in the second or the third or fourth round. I've got 12 rounds, but I do need to stop it before it goes the distance.
Talk to me about the atmosphere then. We're expecting a full house at the First Direct Arena on Saturday night. Is it an atmosphere you're excited to be a part of and box and perform in front of? But just on that, you speak very confidently. Are you also very confident that the atmosphere will soon fall silent as the fight unfolds?
So yeah, when I start thinking about it, I get super emotional and super excited, and my skin starts to warm up just thinking about those 15,000 people. And again, you know, if this can't get you motivated in life, nothing will. And I'm telling you, by the third round, I will have shut up the Leeds fans, and they'll just be expecting their fighter to survive. It's only me and Josh that go into the ring. They can't be in there with me. And you'll see what happens, and I go on and retain my world title.
The way you beat Kid Galahad was emphatic, one of the best right hands you're likely to see in a boxing ring. Do you believe you can replicate that type of finish against Josh Warrington? Is that the type of finish you're also eyeing in this fight?
Yeah, I think, as I said before in previous questions, there's completely no margin for error with this. So I have to go out and win emphatically and leave nothing to chance. So I need to go out and do the same as Kid Galahad. Otherwise, I won't come out victorious and take my belt home.
It's 5 years since Martinez and Warrington met first time around. Few people would have believed how the fortunes of the two have changed since then. At the public workout, Chris Lloyd and Darren Barker caught up with Josh Warrington's trainer and father, Sean O'Hagan, who told us it's been fascinating to see how things have worked out.
Like you say, two paths, completely different paths. People will say first time round, Kiko washed up. Since then he's come back. Did he win the European title? I mean, he's put displays on like he did against Zelfa Barrett. He did what he did with Kid Galahad, and here we are again 5 years on. You know, you couldn't write it really, could you?
How does the training camp for both fights differ? Has it been easier to train for Kiko, knowing that you've been in there with him before? I mean, how does it differ?
No, I think after his last disappointment, you know, during COVID, what we did were we sat down, we reevaluated everything, and we came up with, we made one or two tweaks. I think if anything, as your fighters get older and they gain more experience, you know, with the experience aspects of it, you've got to progress with your training. You've got to use different techniques, more advanced techniques. Intensity is always there. But yeah, we've made a few tweaks and it has been a different camp. But I think this is the best camp that we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Certainly, as far back as I can remember, everything's gone so smooth. There's been no hiccups, there's been no glitches. And I think Saturday night you'll see the very best Josh Warrington.
Yeah. He hasn't changed as much as I think a lot of people thought that he would have. Given, like you say, that we're talking in 2017 that he might be on his last legs, but actually, 5 years later, and the fight we've called his last four or five fights, he hasn't really diminished. Really, when you look at him, against Galahad, yeah, he looked like he got hurt a few times early, but Galahad's a very slick, awkward fighter to look good against, especially at 35. But Martinez, he's going to bring the same problems that he brought you the first time round, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he is. I mean, the one thing that we can take from that is that first fight with Kiko Martinez, we had a terrible injury. I don't know if it was second or third round, but Josh broke his lead hand.
Right.
So, I mean, the thing with that is we had another nine rounds to go with one hand, essentially. If we can take anything from it, is that, you know, one-handed, it will very, very difficult. It will intense. This time round, hopefully, injury-free, and it stays that way for the duration of fight. But you're going to see, I mean, Kiko is a very, very good fighter. I have a lot of time, a lot of respect. And I'm a Kiko Martinez fan. If we were fighting him or not, I'm still a Kiko Martinez fan. He's a consummate professional, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So much on the line on the fight. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger, really, does it? Have you seen that in the attitude of Josh as well? Knowing that, look, if I win this, two-time world champion, etc.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Kiko kept going back to it in the promo video that whoever loses this fight could be heading for retirement. I think what that does is that scares a fighter to death, thought of retiring. So he puts even more into it, tends to listen a bit more. He'll carry everything out to the exact word, you know, so if anything, that's made us the thought of retirement has really, really spurred him on and given him an edge.
So clearly a massive amount at stake for the future of both fighters. Kiko Martinez defends his IBF featherweight world title against Josh Warrington in Leeds at the First Direct Arena on Saturday night, live and exclusive on DAZN. Meanwhile, Warrington's stablemate Maxi Hughes defends his IBO world title against Ryan Walsh. It's been something of a Cinderella story for Hughes, who had considered quitting the sport not so long ago. But a five-fight winning streak culminated in a sensational points victory over Giovanni Strafon at Headingley in September, the man who had previously knocked out James Tennyson in just one round. Hughes now has the chance to correct a bit of family history. His last defeat was a points loss to Liam Walsh, and on Saturday night his brother Ryan Walsh is in the opposing corner. Maxi has been looking back on what's been an incredible year.
Just saying, it felt like 2 minutes ago we were here in September. Similar weather, similar setting, and excited, ready to put on another clinical performance.
I open with that Cinderella line because what a year you have had. When you do look back on the last 12 months, now a little bit of time has settled in to the start of this new calendar year, how fondly do you look back on the last year?
Yeah, it was a great year and got some, you know, come out with it with confidence, some more momentum. So now we're just looking to continue that progress, you know. Do a good job Saturday, you know, enjoy the moment, make sure do a good job on it, and we move on, you know, and we look forward to another good year.
Becoming a full-time pro as well, you've put the paintbrushes, you've put the building sites to one side, so to speak, for now to concentrate
on
your
boxing. For good,
that's what we're
gone for good, yeah.
I thought, yeah, you never know what might happen after this sport, but let's talk about that, because how much is that time to just rest, recover in between sessions? Obviously, a little bit of dad duty sprinkled in there.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, how much has that benefited the in-the-ring form we've been seeing from you?
You'll see Saturday, you know, like I said, that resting period between sessions, you know, not being at work, been more relaxed, being around my family. You know, we've had an additional child now since the last fight, so that's kept me a little bit busier as well, you know, as well as keeping up with full-time Cinderella duties. It's been beneficial to me. And being around more for my family, which in turn, you know, they're my rock. So, you know, they're happy, I'm happy, which makes for better results in the ring.
And I suppose when you do look back now on the tough times you've had in your boxing journey to get to this point, how glad are you that you have persevered to get to this point? Has there been any moments where you've given yourself a little pat on the back? And in doing that, do you hope to be inspirational to other fighters coming through that don't be defined by your setbacks and don't give up?
Yeah, you know, without realising, I get quite a few messages saying, you know, we've looked at you and, you know, so inspired by what you've done. I've not sort of sat back and thought, you know, I hope I'm helping others. You know, I suppose you do it. I'm that focused on reaching my goal, you know, and it's been like that. This is my 12th year now. So I've been chasing it and chasing it and not giving up. You know, keep reminding myself, you know, if it were easy, everyone would do it. And without realising, you know, getting them messages, you know, I don't pat myself on back too much. I don't want to get drunk too much, drunk on my own success too much. But, you know, it's nice to know that I've inspired others. But, you know, my journey's not through yet. I'm still pushing and still setting goals and still wanting to achieve more.
And through these good times, you've always remain the same, a cool character out the ring, very down to earth, despite you saying to me previously a hair transplant one day might be on the way.
Still on cards.
will no level of success really change who Maxie Hughes is?
No, you know, from where we were born, you know, where I brought up on council estates, that's me. That's just who I am. That's instilled in me. I'll never change, no matter how much success, how much money, you know. But occasionally have a few nicer meals, you know, caviar and chips. But, you know, you get a few luxuries in life. But I've worked for him and I will still always remain humble. Also, I can give you an update on the air transplant. I think now signing with Matchroom, no longer have to go to Turkey. I think we can afford to do it in London.
The fight with Giovanni Straffan, I spoke to you about this before, but what an occasion that was at Headingley. The talk was Straffan's going to win this fight, he'll get through Maxie Hughes and he's going to go to America and fight Devin Haney. I just wonder how much did that factor into your motivation to spoil that party and prove everyone wrong that night?
Not so much them comments give me that motivation. I was already motivated by his performance last May when he won the title against James Tennyson. It was devastating fashion and he looked $1 million doing so. So that were enough motivation, knowing he's capable of doing that. And that could be me if I'm not switched on. And just hearing everybody, you know, being a massive underdog, hearing everyone saying, you know, Max has done well to get to this and earn his shot, but we don't think he'll see the final bell. That were everything that I needed. And, you know, I rose to the challenge, enjoyed every round and, you know, did what I do best. I believe, you know, there was us in the gym and me and my family, we knew what I could do. It was just a matter of going out and proving it to everyone. I knew I were capable of that. So it was just a matter of going out and proving it and enjoying it while I did it.
And this will be your third outing, I believe, at the Yorkshire Coliseum, the first direct arena. In terms of the atmosphere, how much are you relishing the reception you're going to receive on Saturday night?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It all adds. And it all helps you, you know, knowing you're at home. Everybody's coming to watch you. The applause, you know, like Proximo said, they will applaud you for these. So, just enjoy it. I mean, enjoying it all, you know. And I said last time in the build-up, I'm not just here for this one-off and enjoying this one occasion. I'm going to keep, you know, I'm going to win. I'm going to keep doing this. This is the life that I want to live. So, you know, nothing changes. You'll see, we'll be back here again later this year and we'll be doing it all again.
Now, this fight with Ryan Walsh, a little bit of family history there. Just tell us about that for those who don't know and perhaps why revenge is in the air for you, Maxie, on Saturday night.
Yeah, November 2019, I fought their kid, twin brother Liam. And no excuses, the better man won at night. A good close fight, but since then, you know, Liam retired because he said I were too much for him, even though he won. Since then, I've gone on my good run of form. I've really found myself and, you know, really got a good trust and good working relationship with trainer Sean, and he's found a way of bringing the best out of me. And, you know, now Ryan's come up and this fight's come available, so I get the chance to retire a second Walsh brother. You know, and that's what I intend on doing. No doubt, you know, there's no doubts that I'm going to come out victorious on Saturday night.
You told us in a recent interview that you do a lot of things well, but nothing great. Mm. How would you sum up his skill set in response to that?
He's good. He's more than good. He's an outright owner of a Lonsdale belt, so you have to respect what he's done. But he's coming up two weight divisions to my weight, where I'm well established, and he'll see how great I can be.
Well, he did tell us just before you walked in this room, Maxi, that he's been looking at your record. He told you at a press conference as well that Maxi's never won 6 fights in a row. I think he's won 5 in a row twice, and it's going to be the same on Saturday night. Do you read much into that superstition?
No, not really. It's all nonsense, isn't it? It's just a bit of tomfoolery. When we have a chat and a drink afterwards, I'll tell him. So, Ryan, proved you wrong, son. And that's my 6 win up bounce.
He did say that he's expecting you to be very negative in this fight. In your opinion, do you see the two styles gelling? Would you disagree with that?
From what we've seen, you know, I think he'll probably revert back to what he always does. I know he said he will show me new things that I've not seen in there, which I don't think that's true. You know, I'm quite experienced. So I think the style, it all depends. You know, we take it round by round. Me and Sean, we don't look too far ahead, and we adjust and we adapt and we do what we need to do to win. Like I said that before the Strafford fight, if I need to jab for 12 rounds and win, I'll do that. I'll do what's necessary to win. I'll adjust and I'll make sure that I come out victorious.
I'm taking it round by round, not looking too far ahead. I just said to you off camera as well, does that translate into full focus on this fight? You know, Eddie's always in your ear. Massive year inbound for Maxi Hughes. Is it important that you do just remain focused on this task at hand? Because Ryan Walsh is certainly very motivated to spoil the party.
Absolutely, yeah. There's, you know, he's got nothing to lose. He's coming to try and spoil what I've worked for and I've built up these last 2 years. But, you know, I learnt the hard way as an amateur for underestimating somebody and taking somebody lightly who I'd already beat. And that backfired on me and I lost. And I realised then it's because I took it lightly and I'll never do that again, ever. So, you know, I'm not taking Ryan lightly at all. I expect the best version. And you'll see that on Saturday night.
Also on the bill, the hugely popular Australian Ebony Bridges. She challenges Argentina's Maria Cecilia Roman for her IBF bantamweight world title. There's no doubt this is a step up in class for Bridges. Roman is a hugely experienced fighter with 23 pro fights on her record, as opposed to Bridges' 8. But the blonde bomber is confident her partnership with new trainer Mark Tibbs will make a massive difference in her adopted home city.
Australia has a big affiliation with Leeds, you know, with Viduca, Harry Kuehl, back in like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s when I played football. And so it was always kind of like that. And then, when I started coming over here and obviously Leeds being my team and then coming into Leeds and the whole community and everything, like they just embraced me and embraced them. And I love the city and I love the people.
For you then, this week, as someone who has always said what they think, always looked to challenge stereotypes and encourage people to just be themselves, chief support, world title fight in front of a sold-out arena, how proud a moment is this for you in so many different ways?
Oh, man, it's absolutely incredible. Like, even, like, last time when I fought in Leeds, you know, I didn't expect to be fighting kind of in Leeds, like, you know, that fast. And then to be able to now come fight in Leeds, not just in Leeds, but for a world title as a co-main, like, that's just incredible for me. You know, it's amazing.
And a few changes behind the scenes that I just want to talk about, obviously linking up with the legendary duo of Mark and Jimmy Tibbs. Just tell us about why you made that switch and why you felt it was an important move to make at this stage of your boxing career.
Well, you know, my boxing here, like all my boxing is kind of based in the UK, and every other fight that I've done, I've literally travelled around the world from Australia, from a training coach in Australia, then to Philadelphia with guys in Philly, then to come here, and I'm having to adjust between like 3 countries, 3 different kind of training, you know, and I just think it's all those little 1%ers, and I love it here in the UK. You know, everything here is for me, my sponsors are all here, and Mark Tibbs is an incredible coach. He's one of the best, you know, he's one of the best, you know, globally, you know, so it just kind of made sense for me. I've seen what he does and I liked what he did, and honestly, I think it's the best decision that I've made because this is by far the best camp that I've had.
In terms of your development, and I've been speaking to Mark throughout since you linked up, really, and he's so complimentary of your attitude to apply yourself and improve every day in the gym. He has said that sometimes it gets a little bit emotional just through trying to be the best, but
yep.
What sort of developments in your performance do you think we will see this weekend?
I mean, I'm a bit obsessive, but it's true. Everything. I think I've improved all around. Whatever knows of the blonde bomber, that aggressive pressure fighter, I'm still that, but it's improved. It's all better, plus the boxing as well, everything's fine-tuned, everything's just, I kind of had a bit of everything anyways, but now it's just all fine-tuned and it's just so much better, and I'm so excited to get in there and just show everyone what me and Mike have been working on. It's going to be incredible.
And one thing you haven't been found short on recently is your heart. When we look at, the fights recently, the Shannon Courtney fight, your eye swelling up in the way that it did, the Maylis Gangler fight, broke your hand and fought through to finish the fight. Do you think you've proven your toughness and also shown to the boxing media and the wider world that you're not just a gimmick in this boxing world that we all love?
Yeah, well, I hope so, you know what I mean? If you can't see that I'm taking it seriously or that I'm tough or that I can fight now, then, that's something you'll never see and maybe just a block, I was never here to really want to prove anything to anyone. I don't really care what people think of me. I train hard and it's all about what I do and how I feel about myself. And I put the work in the gym, put the work outside of the gym. I put the work in every single part of my life to be the best I can be, whether in boxing or whatever I'm doing, And if people can't see the work that I put in, the sacrifices that I make, then, sad for them because maybe they'd be inspired if they could see it. But, I definitely think, proving myself, I think people are, starting to see it for sure. I know that this weekend they're going to really see it. Really see it.
Well, this is your second crack.
Yeah.
World Honours System, it's the blue IBF belt. That fight with Shannon was a good one. And although you didn't have your hand raised in victory that night, is there positives that you have been able to take from it when you do look back now?
Of course. That fight, I walked away from that fight winning. You know what I mean? Everything about that fight was amazing. It was perfect. It was exactly how it was meant to happen. I wasn't meant to win that fight, and that's okay. Because what I did in that fight and what I showed, not many people can show that, And for me, it was all positives, Yeah, of course, I would love to have a belt. I'd love to have my hand raised, but that wasn't my time. But this weekend is my time, It wasn't my time then, because here it is. I'm going to take it off a champion, off a long reigning champion, And for me, that's huge.
And in terms of when you look back on that fight, with all due respect to your previous coaches, of course, you did say at times when you were, you were looking for a bit of inspiration in the corner, you weren't quite hearing what you wanted to hear from a tactical perspective.
Yes.
Heading into this fight, should there be tough moments, which I'm sure there will be when you do have to go to the world, does it give you a certain degree of confidence in your corner that when you do go back and sit down for that minute that you've got one of the coolest heads in the game giving you that advice?
100%, 100%. Knowing that I have Mark, I trust Mark so much, Like, I moved over here so I could train with Mark, and I did that knowing that he was one of the best, and I give my full trust to him in anything that he says I do, And I believe that, it's going to be amazing. Obviously, I have the guys in Philly as well, my manager, Brian and Kaylee here. And we all work well together, and it's going to be the best. Honestly, I'm so excited.
So, obviously, when there is a challenger, we must have a champion. Talk to me about Maria Cecilia Roman. This is her seventh defence, long-standing world champion since 2017. What do you know about her and what strengths is she bringing to the table?
Yeah, look, Roman Cecilia, obviously, she's a champion. She's defended a title, seven times or something like this. I mean, she's obviously, well good. She's been around for a long time. I think she has everything. I think she can do everything. She's a big toolbox. I've seen her sit in a pocket and trade. I've seen her box. I've seen her do a lot of things, come through cuts. She's well experienced, She has that experience. And I do think she's a good champion. She was someone that I've always looked at, that I've always said I'd love to fight her, because I think it's going to be a great fight, She's been around, she's a little bit older, she has that experience, but, she hasn't come up against the blonde bomber before, she hasn't been hit by me before, and this is my home here, she's she's come to me, so I think, when she walks out and she sees that crowd, and she's probably going to get booed, unfortunately she's not really good at sportsmanship, but she will, all these little things, it'll be interesting to see how that goes for her, But I do think she's a great, I'm not underestimating at all. I think it's going to be the hardest fight of my life, and it's going to be a fight that will literally change my life.
In this type of fight then, when you've said to me before, there is no margin for error. You can't afford to switch off at any moment over the 10 rounds. Victory likely to be hard-earned. Are you demanding the very best from yourself from the opening bell?
100%. I have to be 100% for me. And to be honest, I never want to be any less than 100%, but I really do have to be. I have to be switched on. There can't be one mistake. There can't be 1 second. You know, she's well too experienced for that, you know. So I have to be smart, listen to my corner, and, you know, do everything I can to win. That's it, you know. Like, for me, like, losing is not an option, and I'm just going to have to do anything that it takes to win that belt.
You said if you do win this world title, you might even shed a tear, which you've also told us is a rare occurrence for you in Victory. How much would this mean to Ebony when you do just visualise having the belt on your shoulder and the new IBF bantamweight champion of the world?
Honestly, like, winning that title belt makes all the sacrifices worth it. You know, leaving my home, travelling the last however many years around, you know what I mean? Like, my family, my friends, my loved ones, my work, my everything, money, everything, you know what I mean? It makes it all worthwhile. It makes it all for a purpose. It puts the exclamation mark on my story from card girl, you know, back in Australia to, like, you know, through all the injuries, all the setbacks, all the heartbreaks, you know, like, there's so much behind the scenes you don't see, to then now to have that title and have that belt around my waist and to be called a world champion, which is, like, you know, putting a kind of the history thing. And for me to do it with the mission that I have and the purpose that I have of being you, being real, showing, you know, like, you can be feminine, you can fight and all this kind of stuff, and to have that belt, it puts an exclamation mark and it just shows, see? You know what I mean?
Dalton Smith takes another big step in his career as he faces Ireland's Ray Mallett. Sheffield's most successful amateur has taken to the pro game with great success so far, racking up 9 wins with 7 knockouts and picking up the English super lightweight title in the process. Mallett may not have fought competitively for a year, but he's a seasoned opponent who's kept himself very busy in the gym. Smith told us he's prepared for whatever comes.
100% up for it, and, you know, I keep saying, the better the opposition gets, the better you're going to see a Dalton Smith. And, you know, this fight is one of those fights where I know I can't leave no stone unturned. You know, it's a big stage for Ray Mallett to pursue his career on, and, you know, he's going to take it with both hands and bring everything to the table. So yeah, you're going to see the best Dalton Smith.
And what does he bring to the table? What have you seen and what have you think? He does that well, he does this good.
He's a European and world gold medalist in the amateurs. He's a 12-1 as a professional. You know, you don't win those type of tournaments in the amateurs by having a padded record in the professionals. So it shows what type of fighter Ray is, and, you know, we've done his own work. He's a good fighter, but you're gonna see me shine on Saturday with him.
Obviously, this is for a ranking place with the WBC and international belt. The British title has now become vacant. It's kind of been tied up a little bit over these last 6 to 8 months. Is that an aim of yours, that the British, or are we going an alternate route, do you think, this year? What's your plan?
British. I can never overlook any opponent, any challenge, but I've got a big challenge on Saturday. Yeah. But I believe I'll be British champion by the summer.
Right, so look, all goes well Saturday. Would you like that your next fight?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Also on the bill, another popular Australian, Skye Nicholson, takes the next step in her development, having secured a good points win on her professional debut in San Diego earlier this month. She's looking forward to showing further improvements against Beck Connolly. Incredibly successful amateur Callum French opens the show as he makes his second professional appearance. Light heavyweight Marley Wright looks to get back to winning ways in his third fight, following a draw last time out. And Corey O'Regan looks to make it 6 straight wins in the super lightweight division. Don't forget, we'll bring you all the build-up from the press conference, weigh-in and plenty more besides across all of Matchroom Boxing's social media channels over the next few days. Then, on Saturday night, here in Leeds, Kiko Martinez versus Josh Warrington, the rematch, live and exclusive on DAZN. Thanks for joining us on the ground. We'll be back again soon.